And now, at 12:05, live from the Mercer Museum, the Jones Stack Show, brought to you in part each day by McCarter Theater, by the Bucks County Bank and Trust Company, by the Medical Center for Aging at Doylestown, and by Modern Cleaners. And now Joan and her very special guest, James Michener.
Hi, this is Joan Stack. Well, I'm not at Conti's today. I'm at the Mercer Museum, and for very, very good reason. It's a special privilege to be able to interview James A. Michener, who is here with us. And, of course, he is the greatest living writer in the world. And we also have to mention he's just been reelected president of WBUX's board.
Half of that statement is true.
Oh, no. I was thinking about this interview today, and I thought, James Michener's books will be read centuries from now. Because of the scholarship, because of the storytelling ability. Did you ever think about that, or when you were writing, ever think about it for the future?
No. I think that writers like me live from day to day. You fight desperately to get what you're doing now right, and you're willing to let the future decide itself. I work very hard to tell a good story. I like to have it right. I'm willing to do my homework.
What happens
to it, I leave to other people.
Yeah, oh, well, it's given so much to so many people around the world. We're going to talk about this career and how it all began in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. Of course, as listeners to the radio know, there's a very special day going on to honor James Michener, and we'll talk about all those things in just 1 minute. I want to remind people that the program today is being brought to them by Bucks County Bank and Trust. They have lots of good things going on for people at all their branches. They're all the way from Fairless Hills right up to Quakertown. They have a special new service, too, that I think is particularly good. I was reading it on a brochure that just came today. For senior citizens, they now have a free, regular, or now checking account. Senior citizens, age 60 or over. And they have lots of good things going on for people of all ages. They have a student loan that's particularly attractive, too. I'm going to give you a toll-free number, you can call it, for any information at all about their home equity loans or their personal loans, their student loans, or their checking or line of credit. The number to call is 1-800-358-9900. 1-800-358-9900. Bucks County Bank and Trust. My guest today is James A. Michener, Jim Michener, who is being honored in Doylestown, given the key to the city, and spoke at the school, the high school, from which he graduated 60 years ago, slightly different building there.
Yes, I remember the old building with great affection. It was really an old, old building to which a wing had been added just before I came, so it seemed like a new building to us. It burned, and now it's been replaced by a really fine building out in the west of town.
Yeah. We know it was reported, Jim Michener, that you had felt slighted in the past by the treatment in your hometown. What was it? The ancients said, a man is a prophet. I'll ask you to quote that.
A man is a prophet to everybody except his valet. I think this is a good one.
They even had them in the Bible, huh?
No, a man is a prophet except in his own country. I've never bothered much about that. I've had a great life in this area, and I have always returned here to live. I've testified to the fact that this is my hometown. I'm tremendously indebted to it. I am glad that I got away from it to get a broader perspective, but that never meant that I wasn't going to come back. But I think roots are very important to a writer, any artist who wants to deal with life intelligently. And Bucks County has been a very special place for the last 50, 60 years, and I've been very proud to be a part of it.
Good. You had mentioned earlier at a press conference that you were not a dreamer of big dreams, and I think that's something that most people wouldn't have guessed.
I can honestly testify to that. I think part of it was the problem of mere survival was so important and so difficult But I was willing to settle for that and let the future take care of itself. Mm-hmm. I think my college classmates would tell you the same thing, that they never dreamed I would do what I've done because I showed no evidence of it. I was willing to let things drift. I was always learning something. But I have great patience with young people today who don't see the future clearly, because I never did. I took care of myself, and obviously I learned something, but I never had any overriding ambition that so many young people have.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's harder for them now to succeed?
Yes. It's infinitely harder to be a young person today than when I was a young person. When I was a young person, and I had a pretty tough life, what could I do that would destroy that? Well, I could steal, or I could develop very bad sex habits, or I could run away and not be heard from. That's about it. You might get on the bottle quickly and destroy yourself through excessive drinking, but our pitfalls were very simple. Today, my goodness, the pitfalls for young people are infinite and very destructive, and society is ambivalent about this. When I was a young man in Doylestown, every agency in this town conspired to keep me straight, to make me a better boy. The Sunday school, the police force, the older people. I was never peddled on the corner with somebody trying to sell me marijuana. It was the other way around. If they saw me on the corner, somebody would come along and say, Jim, you oughtn't to knock around here. If you want to be an athlete, if you want to do well in school, you want to be home studying. That's so different. No, I think young people today face problems infinitely more difficult than I did.
That's interesting to hear, and I think it'll be reassuring, too, for a lot of parents to hear that from you. I have often wondered if there is a Pennsylvania book in James Michener or a Bucks County book.
I've written my second book. I dealt with that. The Fires of Spring is a pretty heavy Bucks County, Willow Grove, Philadelphia book, and I'm glad I wrote it. I would doubt that I would ever double back. Mm-hmm. My interests are so wide, and I'm called to so many different areas of interest that I would think that what I did once I would not come back to.
Then there's nothing you'd like to rewrite from a mature vision?
You know, that's a very interesting question, Joan. I have always felt that all of my books ought to be rewritten about 30 years later by younger writers who would have new ideas, new knowledge, new points of view. Certainly my Hawaii book should be rewritten. My Israel book should be rewritten. My South Africa book should be rewritten. And quite a few others. It hasn't happened. And I've invited people to do it.
You're a pretty tough act to follow, Jim Michener.
Well, the person who does it has to know at least as much as I did when I wrote. The person has to have done all his homework or all her homework. In other words, the writer has to have paid his or her dues, and they're not doing that. Now, I'm sure that some bright person is going to come along in the future, before the end of this century, and do a much better Hawaii book than I did and a much better Bucks County book than I did. But they ain't going to do it easy. They are going to have to do a lot of work.
They have their work cut out for them,
they say.
Yeah.
They do indeed.
I wanted to ask you about the process of writing your book. People are amazed. They say, how can one person do the definitive... Well, I'm thinking of Centennial, which started in the...
Yeah.
In long before history, and to have mastered something like this. How does it happen?
Well, I think, Joan, it all comes back, the fact, right to this town. I had a good education. I had a good education in elementary school. I had a good education in high school. I went to a great college. I went to some great universities. And I never diminish this. I think parents who think that one school is just as good as another are deceiving themselves. Schools are better than other schools. Teachers are better than just normal teachers. A good college is a corking sight better than just an average place. And I think we better recognize this. And any parents who are listening to this program, or any young people who might be listening to it, don't think that all schools are equal. They are not. They are not. Because in some schools you get an impetus to go forward and do well, and in other schools it's satisfactory if you just drift by.
How would you advise parents who want to make their public schools better if they can't? Private schools are now almost out of the reach of just about everyone. How would you advise parents to go?
When I taught at George School, south of here in Newtown, which I did for some very happy years, a group of us young teachers who were very keen on education had some bull sessions, which continued for a long time, as to what the real differentials were in education. Now, we decided, you may be interested, these men all went on to become great professors, so this was a superior group. It was during the Depression, so George School could afford the best teachers in America. We all decided that it wasn't libraries, and it wasn't teachers, and it wasn't Sunday school, and it wasn't reading the newspaper. What do you think it was? Conversation at dinner with an interesting family. Where somebody says, do you know the meaning of that word? Well, why don't you look it up? Or why do you think that New York is bigger than Georgia? Let's look it up. And we all decided that the child who had that advantage, you know, granted good health and ability to read and the normal things, the child who had that advantage of creative conversation with his parents was way ahead of anything we were going to teach him. Now, if he didn't have it, a good teacher can inspire it. They can fill the gap. But a fascinating conversation around a dinner table, night after night, where you inculcate the habits of proof and where did you get that, why do you say that, or have you thought about the meaning of what you just said, or not allow them to indulge in cheap cracks at the expense of other races, things like that. We held that was preeminent. Mm-hmm. I still believe it.
Yeah, and something which is certainly affordable to any family.
Affordable to any family, but not exercised by too many.
Do you think that the influence of television and the movies has been detrimental then?
Well, it inhibits conversation, but I think prudent families can get around that by raising questions and beating their kids around with ideas, and I think it's possible mm-hmm. to live with television.
Yeah.
I'm very partial to television. I think that in the years ahead we'll see it producing programs that will turn us around.
Mm-hmm. I know you're very interested in the young people, too. The young people who were here today at the press conference were so excited when they came in. They had just come from your meeting at the school. They were so thrilled. I remember another occasion. There was a bicentennial flagpole being dedicated right in front of the courthouse. Dan Atkinson was the mayor then, you
yep.
remember, and you were there.
Yeah, indeed.
And you spoke so movingly to me about the little children who were in attendance there. There were little Boy Scouts and little Girl Scouts, you know, and they. You said when you were a child, you remember the elders of the community speaking around the very same spot at
yep.
the courthouse,
yep.
and you weren't sure exactly what they were saying, It didn't matter, but you knew that something important was being said because of the older people who were there.
Yes, I think that that parents do well to allow their children, encourage their children, enable their children to have a wide body of experience, because you never know what is going to set a human mind on fire. That's the great problem of growing up, to get in touch with things that are bigger than you are, with people who are doing things that your immediate family is not doing, with ideas that are bigger than the ideas you've been fooling around with. And unless a child has that experience, she or he may never mature to the capacity mm-hmm. that they're capable of.
And yet you said earlier, too, you weren't particularly worried about people until they were about 35, then they should be doing something.
I said, if they are improving themselves en route, if they're reading good books or talking or meeting interesting people or having jobs that challenge them, I'm willing to have people wait to make their decisions till 30, 35. Mm-hmm. Because if they're good people, then they have a powerful motivation. I wish you would take, say, the 100 leading citizens of Doylestown, men and women, and I don't mean in big positions, but I mean, who is a good barber? Who is a good repairman? Who is a good banker? Let's have a big mix and find out when in their growing up they made the decision which put them where they are now. I think you would find it comes late in life.
James A. Michener is my guest here. You're tuned to the Joan Stack Show, 1570 on the AM dial. Certainly is a privilege to be talking with him. I'm going to mention again, too, that you've just been reelected president of WBUX.
And I would say that some years ago, a group of us citizens in the Doylestown area decided that the area merited a first-class radio station. And we were willing to put our money where our mouth was, and we bought the station that was really in pretty sad repair. And we have since done everything we could to make it a respectable, small town, rural county radio station. And I think the proof is that we've increased it measurably, and we're still far short of what it ought to be. Just as many institutions in Doylestown are far short of what they ought to be. But the ones we have kept this town very attractive. The new buildings I see around here are commendable. The agricultural works is a joy.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of converting the old jail into a museum, which will be a counterpart to the one that we're in, is very imaginative. I don't think a community ever ought to rest on its laurels, and certainly the radio station that we've put together is far from what it ought to be, but it's a corking sight better than when we took it over.
I'll say. Yes. You are working in Alaska right now.
That's right.
And I must say, it seems to me a very courageous thing to do, to have gone to Alaska and the... I understand in the darkest part of the year there. And I know everybody wants to know what's next after Alaska.
I've decided to write about Alaska because it's the North Pacific, and I've done adequate work in the South Pacific, and I thought it was high time I completed the circuit.
You think there'll be a musical in it?
Not the way I'm writing it right now. But I didn't think that about South Pacific either. I went up there on the 20th of December because I wanted to see the shortest day of the year, which is the 22nd or 21st of December, varies from year to year. And I was north of the Arctic Circle, and at one point the temperature was 52 degrees below zero, and that's pretty impressive. And then the next day it dropped to 22 degrees below zero, and it really seemed like summer. We went around with our jackets off. You understand, there's no humidity, and there's absolutely not a breath of air. You can't have wind at that degree, at that area. So it's simply a matter of living with the cold, and you adjust to it. Now, the rest of the winter, I was in Sitka, which has about the same climate as Philadelphia. That's in Alaska. Mm-hmm. Because the Japan Current comes in real close to shore, and it gives you a wonderful climate. Of course, Sitka has 96 inches of rain a year, which means you have rain every day. But you also have a beautiful landscape. I'm in Alaska because I want to be there.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And if it wasn't 52 degrees below zero, I don't think I'd want to be there. That's what I'm going to write about.
Yeah. And what's coming next after Alaska?
I have about 20 good ideas in mind.
I bet.
I will always have that many as long as I live. My mind is unbelievably fertile. Many writers have had minds like that. I imagine Tolstoy could have written a book a week, could have imagined one. Dickens certainly could. Thackeray could. Sinclair Lewis could. I'm not unusual. The question is to do it, not to think about it. I don't know what will happen. I don't know what I'll do next.
What would you like to see happen in the world?
I would like to see Russia and the United States get together in some way. We are two very attractive peoples. I know Russia well. They're a first-class group of people as human beings. Why they allow themselves to be governed so poorly and have so little on their shelves perplexes me. They're probably doing some things that are better than we're doing, and some things we do must perplex them. But we are two very able people. We have tremendous capacity. And I would crank in Japan and China and India in that group, and in the Far East, which are countries I know well. If we could somehow unite those capacities, we could sure make it a better world.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take just a minute out to remind people here that the program is being brought to them by Bucks County Bank and Trust, with many special services and many branches right here in our own Bucks County. They're all the way from Fairless Hills right up to Quakertown. They want to have me tell you about a phone number, too, that you can call for information, quick approvals on anything concerning loans. And the number to call is 1-800-358-9900. Bucks County Bank and Trust brought you this program today. Thank you so much for taking time out.
Good to be here.
Oh, it certainly is an honor for us to have you back in Doylestown and to have you on the station and the program.
I want to see you kids at WBX keep working.
Well, I just did a little work there.
Very good.
Right. Thank you so much.
Here.
And this is Joan Stack. I thank you for listening.